Well, welcome back this week to another episode of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles is here with you guys, and it's been a couple weeks, mainly just because of the Christmas holiday, and then we were out of town. And so I'm a little bit late this week because I just got back in yesterday from a training in the kind of Cary, Raleigh, Durham area. And so I am a little bit trying to just figure this week out, but I wanted to take just a quick moment and come up here and try to spend a few moments with you guys in the podcast room. And so I'm glad that you are tuned in. Hope that you've been able to catch up, and I'm excited about what this year is going to hold. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today in this episode. But to kind of get some things going, we're kicking off this year with some new things. One of the new things we're kicking off is we're still on Sunday mornings continuing the book of Mark, but we've kind of turned to that point where we're not just talking about the gospel, but we're talking about the Passion Week of Christ, and we're coming into that in the book of Mark. And so from this point until Easter, we're going to spend our time talking through from the triumphal entry to the cross and then to the ascension. And so this is going to be a really kind of fun time to be here. We've got a few weeks in there where we've got our Baptist Men's Day, which is the 26th. We've got our Baptist Women's Day, which I believe is this February 16th. And then we'll have a Youth Sunday coming up as well in March. But the Sundays are going to be really talking and focusing in on the teachings of Christ leading up to his passion, and just kind of the importance of that in our everyday life, and how we can kind of prepare our hearts and minds for Easter. So really want to encourage you to be here on Sundays. That's going to be a great time. And on Wednesday nights, we're going to spend some time talking about the role of spiritual warfare and what that looks like in our life, and how we can understand that from a biblical perspective. It's a very deep topic because it can go in several different ways. And depending on who you talk to, it can go, you know, from something minor to something extreme real quick. And so we're going to try our best to take a biblical approach to that and understand too, like develop an understanding and also understand how we can kind of combat some of the normal everyday life things and really how to better understand everyday life things in that sense, but also that sometimes our things that we think are battles are not really battles. And so we're going to spend time on that on Wednesday nights. So I encourage you be here for that as well. Of course, we kicked off our after school today. That's been going. Kids have been having a great time. We're kind of getting back into a normal routine around here. But there is one thing I want to kind of bring up and talk with you guys a little bit about before we get into our topic today. And that is an event that I'm excited about. Malene and I have been praying about how to make this happen and to bring it together. And that is a parenting is the best way to describe it, but a parenting conference that we're going to do in April. And the dates on that, I believe, are Friday, April 4th and Saturday, April 5th. We're going to try to do that around that time. And what I love about this is the teaching around it is not so much focused on, April 4th and 5th. Not so much focused on how to be a better parent, but how to really engage the heart of your children so that you can, through everyday context of life, do discipleship with your children and with your family. Malene and I have been really impacted by these conferences in the past, and just the ability for us to walk away with conversation and topics that we could talk about, and especially as it relates to how are we approaching the hearts of our kids. And doesn't mean that we always get it right. Doesn't mean that we always do everything perfect, but at least we have that conversation, and we talk about that, and we work diligently to try to improve a lot of that relationship. And I know that as a parent, sometimes it's really easy to get bogged down into the day-to-day life, and you forget that every day you're building a relationship with someone that God has entrusted to you and given to you. And it's just important to remember that relationship matters, because it can help those kids, and it can help our children develop a closer walk with Christ. And so that conference is going to be happening April 4th and 5th. Right now we're looking at a cost per couple, and it's not going to be super expensive, mainly to help offset things like childcare and food. So as we get most of those details pulled together here closer in the next couple of weeks, we'll be sending out a lot of information on that. So you can go ahead and get registered and get signed up for that. We really don't have like a limit on this per se. We're not really going to advertise out into the community so much yet, but because we don't know what this is going to look like yet. But if you like have some friends or if you have people that are at a different church and they would like to come kind of do this, man, more than welcome. It'd be a great time. And then we're also already praying about maybe this fall hosting a marriage conference that we can do. I don't really know the dates on that yet or kind of what that's going to look like, but we've talked about it. We're thinking about it. It's just a way to better reach, our people, as we talk about in our purpose. Part of that is reaching into our church. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that everywhere that we can. So, keep those things in mind, be looking for those dates as we bring them out, and hopefully you can stay plugged in on what's going on. So, being that it is coffee talk, I do have a little bit of coffee with me today. And thankfully, my wife ran to Dunkin' for me today, which honestly, when we were back in Texas, we didn't really do a whole lot of Dunkin'. There was a Dunkin' in town, but we didn't really go to it that much. We had several coffee shops in town. We mainly went to a place called Java Jack's, which was fantastic cup of coffee. But since we've been here, we've kind of hit up Dunkin' here and there, and it's been pretty good. And I think that, you know, for me, it's a, if I had to pick a cup of coffee, just to kind of get on the fly, yeah, it's not bad. So anyway, got a cup of coffee with me here. So let's take a sip. Let's get into it. So Sunday, we kind of opened up this topic and began the conversation about, what lies ahead for us here at Providence, and what does this year expect? Kind of bring for us. You know, this is my third year here that I've started. And usually they'll tell you that within your third year of ministry, that's really where certain things begin to change and take shape and take form. And so it's a good thing, but it's also a scary thing because you're sitting there sometimes going, well, oh my gosh, I hope that this works out right. And so kind of thinking forward, which is part of what I do. I'm rarely looking into the present moment right now, but I'm always gauging how does the present moment help us move forward into, you know, the next 3 to 5 years. You know, whatever decision we make today, I don't want to be sold in on something that's going to hurt us in the long run. And so I'm always thinking forward and looking at what's ahead for us as a church and as a community, what we can do to capitalize on the things that God's blessed us with and how we can continue to just improve in our areas so that we can continue to see more people engaged with the gospel, that we can see more people engaged with the love and the community that you can find here at the church. But one of the things that we talked about in this was in discussing what lies ahead was making those decisions of saying, you know, what are we as a church going to consider as we look forward this year? And, you know, one of those topics was the parenting conference that we just previously mentioned and how important that is for us moving forward here at the church. But there were other things that we kind of mentioned as well, and I want to explode those out just a little bit more because I think that those are important topics for us to address and look at. So hopefully you're chimed in, you're tuned in, you're plugged in, and I'm not going to go through these super fast, but I am going to take a little bit of time to explain them and hopefully bring about a little more clarity of where we were at from Sunday. So we talked through about not really focusing in on what's behind us at this point, but really focusing in on what's ahead and how in our personal lives, we are always to strive forward towards the goal of Christ Jesus. And really that's kind of the motivating factor of the gospel. You know, the gospel was always a forward moving, a progressive moving, constantly active and flowing word. And when we consider the gospel in that way, we don't really see it so much as just speaking to the right now of whatever situation we're in, but it's also speaking to whatever God has prepared for us and beginning the process of preparing our hearts to better understand what God has prepared for us. And so when we look at the gospel, we're really looking at it from a forward moving position to where we don't believe that it's just sitting there standing in place waiting for us to approve things. But the reality is it's propelling us and it's pushing us forward every single day. And that's the beautiful picture of God's word, is it's always pushing us and propelling us forward. Now, are there moments where it tells us to stop and to be still? I think in the crazy chaos of our life where we are not in tune with God's word and we're not allowing God's word to impact us, but yet we are finding that our life is in chaos, then yeah, I think that there's some moments where we need to stop and be still. I think there's moments where we need to pull back and rest in and be content in the life of Christ for just a moment. But that doesn't mean that we stay there. Rather, when we are replenished and we are nourished and we are ready to continue to move forward in the battle that God has that we are in on a regular basis, then we have to continue to advance and move forward. And any good army that is going into battle and is facing down and staring down the enemy, especially if they know that the battle is already won and the victory is already theirs, I believe that any good army that believes that that victory is theirs and that battle is theirs, they're not going to retreat in the midst of their enemy. But rather, if they know that they've already won that battle, they're going to continue to advance against that other enemy and that other army. And so I think for us as believers, we have to begin that process of understanding how the gospel propels us and moves us forward, that we understand in Christ that the battle is already won. The victory is already there. And what we are essentially doing is we are just fighting continual battles daily in every single moment. But because of that, we don't retreat in those moments. Rather, we continue to advance and push forward because we know that those things cannot hinder us or stop us. And so we talked really about the forward movement and the way that the gospel asks that question of us, you know, pressing on, not looking back, but looking at what lies ahead. We ask that question, you know, what lies ahead for us? What lies ahead for us as a church? What lies ahead for us individually? What lies ahead for us personally? And so one of the things we talked about was in our application part of Sunday, we talked about on a personal level, like how is this next year going to impact us personally? And so one of the things that we looked at was the effect of God's word and the gospel as it pertains to our everyday interpretation of the world around us. In other words, we want to begin to ask those questions each Sunday. How does this word, how does this this part of the gospel, how does this message impact our worldview? Each and every one of us has a way in which we interpret the world around us. And we view the world, we judge the world, and we base the world on a certain set of standards through the lens which we wear and we apply every single day. And so there are certain things that we have to begin to understand that in Christ, and when we give our life over to Christ and we give our relationship over to Him, that there is a moment in there where we have to begin to adopt a Christ-centered and a Christ-focused worldview, a way in which we interpret the world around us. And so one of the things that we want to try to do every Sunday is we want to try to challenge that worldview where we can. I think many Christians today continue to hold on to part of their former selves, that even though the gospel tells us pretty clearly that we need to put off our old self and put on the new self, that's one of those things that is easier said in scripture and it's easy to recite, but yet it is hard to do in practice when we have been so enamored in that older self. And there are things of our older self that we may not even think of that We may be thinking, oh, well, you know, everything's good and everything's great, but there are these small little pieces that we continue to hold on to that prevent us from really exploring what God has for us. And so it affects and it shapes the way in which we interpret the world around us and what we look at in the world around us. I've heard from throughout my ministry, I've heard from people that will tell you, like, even as a pastor, that pastors are just there to try to control or tell people what to do. I had a friend of mine that said, oh man, the ministry is the easiest job. It's the laziest job because, you know, the pastor only works 1 hour a week. So, you know, you don't really have, that hard of a job. And I was like, okay. And granted, that could be coming from the way that they've seen pastoral leadership in the past. And many times people focus in and they interpret pastoral leadership based off what they've seen in the past. If you've been around a pastor who's super controlling and wants to control every aspect and micromanage every piece of their church, then you're going to interpret pastoral leadership as somebody who comes in and puts their hands in everything and won't let anybody do anything. And that's an interesting piece to interpret pastoral leadership. Or on the other spectrum, it could be the person who's so hands off of everything, that they don't really even care what goes on, that they believe pastors are just there to land for a few years and then move on to something else. I think right now, one of the current statistics is that most pastors only stay within a new church, maybe a year and a half or 2 years before they're looking to move on to the next place. And to me, that's a very harsh way to look at pastoral ministry, because that's not the same for everyone. So even like in ministry and pastoral ministry, people have a interpretation of how they view even their pastor. So even you guys listening, you have an interpretation of how you even view me as your pastor. And I get that. I understand that. And my goal is to help shape that worldview a little bit differently so that you can see pastoral ministry as something different, that you see it from the aspect of shepherding and leadership, not just from the aspects that you've seen in the past. But even on another personal level, there's ways that we interpret the relationships with our spouse and our kids, with our community. There are ways that we interpret relationships with our resources, with, you know, in the way that we set goals and the way that we do things in life, even in the way that we interact with things like social media and all this. There's these worldviews that we create that to some extent may not always be Christ-centered and Christ-focused. And it doesn't mean that that's a terrible thing. It may just mean that we haven't had the knowledge to understand how does this worldview or how does this world affect my relationship with Christ? And so one of the things that we're always going to try to do this year is we're going to begin to ask those questions like, how does this interpret your world? How should it, you know, if you're not thinking this way, or if you're not really engaging this word and you're not really allowing it to intersect in your daily life, you know, what are you missing out on? Like, what are you seeing in the world around you? So the goal is to engage you a little bit more deeply in God's word beyond just simply, hey, here's a neat thing. Here's 3 points of application. I hope you have a good week. Eat some Mexican food. Have a great day. It's going to be more of, if we were to take this word and apply it into your everyday life, what would that look like? How would that shape you and how would you be different? And so one of the things that we're going to try to do throughout this year is help you better interpret and understand your biblical worldview. It goes beyond simply reading and having a relationship with Scripture in terms of, you know, where your Bible is, you know, where to locate it. You know that on Sundays you bring it to church, but actually engaging that word on a personal level so that you can be so in tune with how that adjusts your life. And also not reading it for simply trying to get something good or positive from it, but reading it so that it can affect life change, that maybe it helps you better interpret your understanding of the character of God. Maybe it helps you understand more of the relationship that you are to have with the world around you. Maybe it helps you understand more of the relationship the Holy Spirit has with you in drawing you closer to God. And so that's one of the aspects that we want to do on the personal standpoint, is help figure out, how does this work in everyday life? If we were to apply this in everyday life and to look for it, what would that look like? And then one of the second things we talked about is, how are we moving ahead in terms of families? Well, the personal and the families is kind of a twofer, because if we know that we can help you develop a different worldview as it comes to the relationship with the world around you, but also how your relationship with Christ affects the way that you interpret the world around you, then we know that's also going to help you interpret your family relationships, whether it be your kids, your spouse, extended family, kind of whatever that is. But primarily, our focus is going to be, how do we help you be a better parent, grandparent? You know, if you are single, hoping to get married, like, what are some foundational things that we can help you better understand now? And also, part of what we talked about was specifically to men, being that I am a guy, I'm going to talk to guys a little bit more deeply, but, helping men understand that the role of disciple making and the role of Christian leadership comes from that, you as a husband, putting forth the gospel every single day and challenging your family in that, not towing lines of legalism and not towing lines of authority, but rather beginning that process of saying, you know, if Christ approaches me with grace and mercy and compassion, then I must also approach my family with grace and mercy and compassion. And in those moments where they are empty, I need to be able to be nourished and filled up enough to be able to pour back into them so that they can have something. And again, that's one of those things that's really easy to say. It's hard to do, especially when you are focused on trying to strive and provide for your family and to make those things happen. So those are some of the things in like family area that we want to focus in on, is helping our families, helping our people, within that unit, move deeper and closer in relationship to God and with one another within their family. And then the last kind of piece that we focused in on was, you know, as a church, how are we going to, what lies ahead? How are we moving forward, as a church? It's not uncommon in the phase and the stage that we're in right now for people to say, well, let's put the brakes on some stuff and let's just kind of take it slow. And I'll be honest with you, there are moments where I sit back and I say, man, if I could just put the brakes on some things right now, that would be great. But when we look back at the reality of the disciples in the book of Acts, after Jesus has ascended, he's given them the Holy Spirit, they're impacted and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The disciples never had a moment where they could stop and relax. Even in the moments where Jesus sent them out to ministry and asked them to go out in his name and to do different things, they would come back. There's always these moments that they want to rest, they want to take a break, but it just doesn't happen. And they have to keep moving, they have to keep going, and they have to keep making these things continue. And then you get to the book of Acts, they've had some time to kind of contemplate and think and spend some time with Jesus. And now, through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, now we're seeing thousands of people at one time come to a relationship with Christ, and they're having to figure out, what does this look like? All that to say is, in my own life, there are moments where I know that as a pastor, I want to slow down and just kind of reflect a little bit. And unfortunately, that hasn't really been the season for us over the past couple of years. You know, we kind of hit the ground running, and we've been running ever since, and we've continued to push forward. And I think that's just a pattern that's going to continue to happen this year. The only thing is, this year it might look a little bit different as we begin to challenge certain things and we begin to really search for that answer of, you know, why, you know, what's the purpose of this? Why was this initiated? Does this continue to serve the ministry of the church? And what that means is there's going to be some small things that people think are massively important, but in reality, compared to the overall purpose of ministry, are small. And so instead of getting bogged down and getting and torn up on the small, minute details of life, we're going to kind of notice those. We're going to recognize those things and say, in the grand picture and the grand scheme of our role and responsibility of reaching our community with the gospel of Christ, on a scale of 1 to 10, how does this rank? How does the, this issue right here, on a scale of reaching people for the kingdom of God, which is what we're focused to do, is what we're trying to do, is what we want to strive to do every single day. Where does this thing rank? Is it a 1 or is it a 10? Is it a mountain or is it a molehill? Because we're not going to make mountains out of molehills. We're not going to elevate 1s to 10s. Rather, we're going to look at the whole situation and go, look, I understand that to you, this may be an extremely, extremely important and precise thing that if it is done away with, or if it is not taken care of, then your whole world is going to fall apart. That's not our intentions, but our intentions are to say right now, that's not our focus. Right now, our focus is how do we reach people with the gospel? If you look at the demographic studies of our area and you begin to see the amount of people that are moving into our area, we're going to find out pretty quick that there's a large majority of our people that have no relationship with the triune God. And there's even still, if there is a relationship with God, there are moments where that relationship and the understanding of that relationship is very muddy. And so we're running out of time, I think, as people, and we're running out of time as Christians to spend on matters that don't have eternal significance. And so we're really going to try to spend some time focusing in on what does eternity look like and how do we help people get there? We want to help people get to eternity in that. That also means that there are some things that I like to call that are golden calves. You know, it's an idol that we create for ourselves, and maybe it's an idol that we maintain, and we say things like, you know, it's just not going to be church if this isn't here. Granted, there's always going to be things like that, and that's going to shift and that's going to adjust over time, and it's going to alter. It's going to be different. There's always going to be a new golden calf that's going to pop up in ministry. Our goal and our responsibility moving forward is to, when we idolize things that are not supposed to be idolized, that we idolize and we hold in position higher than Christ or higher than God, it is the responsibility of the believers of the church to pull together and to say, wait a second, we may be putting more emphasis on this than what is necessary. And when that's the case, we have to pull back. We can't continue to get distracted from the purpose that God has for us. And again, that purpose is simple. We want in everything that we can to glorify God. We want to do that by building relationships with Jesus, sharing in his love by reaching in to you, our church, and then reaching out to our community. And what we're going to do over the next several weeks is we're going to break this down a little bit more, because it seems like a simple statement and it's kind of a generic type statement. But for us and our context, I think it provides a lot more structure than we think when it comes to our church. And so we're going to spend some time on these podcasts over the next couple of weeks, breaking this down some more and helping us better understand the why and the process, the why we are here, the why we exist, and then the processes that we want to put in place to make that existence happen on a regular basis. So Providence family, I'm kind of excited about this year moving forward. I will say there's going to be challenges and it's going to be tough. But also on the opposite end of that, I think the victory and the joy that we're going to experience is going to be so much greater than any sort of challenges that we might face. So I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this, make sure that you share it with other people. Gather people around in your house and let everybody kind of hear this at once. Again, the goal of this is not to say we're going to come in and stir the pot on everything. The goal of this is to come back and say, we need to make sure that what we are doing is the right things, and not right by our standards, but right by the standard that God has placed in us. right by the standard that he has given us through his word. And so I think that's really our ultimate goal and our ultimate desire. You know, the churches always say we want to be more like Christ. And I think this is a time for us to consider, what does that look like then for Providence to be more like Christ? So Providence family, if you're listening in, I want to encourage you, listen to it once, twice, multiple times. If you've got questions on this, do not be afraid to reach out to me. I always tell people, I tell the deacons every time I meet with them and we're working through a decision. I don't have an ego that has to be stroked. I don't have anything like that that I feel like you need to be fond of. So if you've got questions, comments, concerns, by all means, reach out to me. I would love to talk with you about anything that God has placed on your heart. So Providence family, it's always good. And I hope that you have a great week surviving this cold. And I hope it's a good one.